Parshas Lech Lecha. We get introduced. We don't really get introduced, but we get to note Avraham Avinu. Now, Avraham Avinu, as you know, maybe from the end of last week's parsha, was already mentioned, but not too much of detail about him. So we have the beginning of the parsha, Vayomer Hashem al Avraham Lech Lecha. Hashem says to Avraham, go. Lech Lecha. One of the interesting words in that. A lot of interesting words in this pasuk. But Lech Lecha. What does Lech Lecha mean? Go for yourself. So first of all, you would assume that if someone would tell you to go, so what would the next words be?
Yeah.
Where are you going? Right? You're going to go there, you're going to go here, go to Israel. But that's not what Hashem says. Lech lecha, mei artzecha, mi moladzecha, mi beis avicha. Go for yourself from here, from there, from here. So it's interesting, first of all, that the first words after the word lech are where you're going from, not where you're going to. Usually, if you're going from somewhere, it would be, say me this, go out from here. And yet here, the pasuk is saying, lech lecha, or Hashem is saying, lech lecha. So if you want to know the answer to that question, hopefully we'll discuss it on Thursday night from Rav Tzadok. But we'll focus on other things. We'll focus more on the word lecha, which is what a lot of people try to focus on, try to understand. What does it mean, lech lecha? Go for yourself. Hashem is clearly giving him a test. If Hashem is giving him a test, so it's not just for Avram, it's for Hashem. Hashem wants him to do something. But obviously Hashem is teaching him that there's something about his journey, something about where he's going, which is itself self-beneficial. So where is he going? Well, he's going away from his land, he's going away from his birthplace, and he's going away from his father's home. El ha'aretz asher areka, to the place where Hashem will show him. Does Hashem ever actually tell him where he's going? Not really. Right? Avram gets to Israel and he just walks around. He never has a specific destination. I once wrote about how that concept of going without a destination is what Hashem wanted from Avram. Hashem didn't want Avram to get to a certain place. He didn't want him to go to a certain destination to feel an accomplishment of a conclusive nature. He wanted Avram to go. The mission was to go. That was the mission. The mission wasn't to get to a place. The mission was to go. And Avram was sort of without a GPS, if you will. Right? There was no, you know, destination in mind. There was obviously a general destination wherever Hashem goes, wherever Hashem tells you to go. But in terms of his actual journey, that was the main part. Hashem wanted him to go. And that's one in general we all have to remind ourselves of, which is that oftentimes we get bogged down and think, I have to get here. You know, just ends justify the means. But usually we don't necessarily appreciate the journey itself. So for Avram, the first real journey that he was tasked with was just to go. To not think about the accomplishment, to not think about the end of the journey, but just the journey itself. That's just an interesting way to start us off today. We don't really need Chumashim today. We're going to be focusing on the words of Chazal.
Thank you so much.
So, what does this word lecha mean? Lech lecha, go for yourself. So Rashi tells us famously, lahanascha ulatovascha. It should be for your own pleasure and for your own benefit. What does that mean? Rashi explains, sham eseh lecha. Over there, I will make you into a great nation. Okay, it's kind of an interesting thing because Rashi said there are going to be two things, hanascha, tuvascha, and then he lists three things. But either way, so Rashi tells us, lecha, go for you, that when you go on this mission, it will be for you. You'll get pleasure from it, you'll get benefit from it, you're going to become a great nation. Here, you will not be able to benefit from children. Maybe that's also the same as becoming a great nation. Va'od, and furthermore, that I will make your character great or known throughout the world. That's also interesting. What does that mean? Why is that a great benefit? Does Avram need accolades? Does Avram need a trophy? Odia tivacha ba'olam, I'm going to make you known throughout the entire world. What does that do for him? Does he have to be on, you know, billboards, he has to be on commercials? What does that mean?
Odia tivacha ba'olam. To set a good example for the rest
okay,
of the world.
Okay, but that's definitely possible. Hopefully that will happen.
Yeah.
But the question is, why is that lahanascha l'tovascha? Why is that for Avram's benefit? Maybe Avram cares that much about everybody else that he hopes to model for them how to live, and that would give him pleasure. It's kind of an esoteric pleasure, but I get it.
Yeah.
It could possibly be. So this is another sort of Rashi that we're not necessarily going to focus too much on, but we are going to reinterpret the word lecha. Not in the way that Rashi says it, but perhaps in a way that will make sense of two main midrashim that we'll see today. Now the midrashim that we'll see, no one here was at the Bnei Akiva Hoshana Rabbah night, were they? I don't think so. It was a nice crowd, Baruch Hashem, and I spoke about these two midrashim, and I spoke about what they mean, how to connect them, and how does it refer back to this Lech Lecha. So hopefully we can go into it with a little more depth than I did then, because that was only about 20 minutes. But let's go through two midrashim that perhaps everyone's familiar with in a general way, but you haven't necessarily seen inside or haven't seen all the details about it. So first of all, on this pasuk, Lech Lecha. Source number 3. Vayomer Hashem al Avram lech lecha me'artzcha v'chulei Rabbi Yitzchak Pasach shimi basri al yati aznech v'shichi amech uveis avich. Right, basically giving a pasuk in Tehillim which is similar to, you know, Avram leaving his land. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, says Rabbi Yitzchak, mashal le'echad shaya over mimakom l'makom. What is it comparable to? What's the parallel analogy to Avraham being told to go from his place? So says Rabbi Yitzchak, Mashal Echad Shehe Over Makom Makom, that there was a person, he was walking from place to place, V'ra'a Bira Achas Dolekes, and he saw a palace, he saw a structure of some kind, and it was Doleket. What does Doleket mean?
Flames.
Right? Flames, like Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. Right? Hadlakas Neros is the same thing here. Dolekes, it's burning. It's in flames. Amar. And this person who's going from place to place says, Tomar, Shabira Hazu Blomanig, am I to believe that this palace, which is on fire, has no owner? What does the word manhig mean? Not really owner. What is a manhig?
Leader.
A leader, right? Linhog is how to behave. So a manhig is a one who controls the behavior of something, right? A leader, a guide. Hatsits alav bal habira. All of a sudden, the person who owned the castle, owned the palace, comes out. Amar lo, ani hu bal habira, I'm the owner of this palace. And that's the end of the story. It's kind of an interesting story. Guy's walking down the road. He sees a house on fire. He says, hey, does anyone take care of this house? Yeah, I'm the owner. Oh, okay.
And that's the end of the story. And he walks
that's
down.
It.
He can't just walk away.
There's no, I'll call the fire department. There's no, let me go get a bucket of water for you. There's nothing.
Let me go get you out of the
place. Please join me on the safe side of the street. What is this whole entire message? First of all, what's the story? But then it continues. Kach lefi shehaya avinu Avram omer tomar shehaolam hazeh blomanhig. Avram looked around the world and saw the same thing. He saw a world in destruction and he said, is this world without a guide? Is this world without a leader? I am the owner of the world, as the Pasuk in Tehillim tells us, etc. So the same thing happens with Avram. Same thing happens with Hashem. Avram's walking in the world, he sees all these terrible things going on. He says, is this to say that there's no one controlling the world? Hashem says, yeah, I run the world. And that's the end of the story. Somehow, that leads us to Lech Lecha. Doesn't exactly tell us how, but that's how we're hopefully going to get to today. Now, this midrash, in some ways, is a secondary midrash to explain Avram's finding of God. Right? Because we know that there's another midrash. We know there's another story about Avram Avinu, about how he found Hashem. What's that story about?
The idols,
smashing the idols, mm-hmm. Right? Trying to search out who runs the world. So this midrash is apparently an added level to that other midrash. So when was that other midrash written? On what parsha? Not on Lech Lecha.
No.
On Noach. And that's last week's parsha, if you look in source number 4. The pasuk tells us at the end of the parsha, Vayamas Haran al Pnei Terach Aviv. What does that mean? Who was Haran? Haran was Avram's brother. What happened to Haran? Well, we're going to read about it. But it means whatever happened to him, he died al-pnei terach aviv. He He died in the face of his father, Terach. Now, that's a little unusual if we're going to assume, as we have seen in many parshios already, many parts of the Torah already, that the people lived for hundreds of years. So if all of a sudden Haran is going to die during his father's lifetime, something must have happened. Not only that, but the Torah makes specific mention that it would happen during Terach's lifetime. It didn't just give us the numbers and we figured it out ourselves, but the Pasuk says, Vayamas Haran al pnei Terach Aviv, one of the last Pasukim, last week's Parsha. So the Midrash Chazal are grappling with what in the world is the Torah trying to teach us? What happened that made it that Haran died so early? And why does it matter for us? What does it matter for us? So let's read the story. Because you might not know that this entire story is based just on Haran's death, but you know the story nonetheless. Midrash tells us the following. In source number 4, the second line, Reb Chia bar Bereid Rav Adadiyafo explained, Terach Oved Tzlamim. Terach, Avram's father, worshipped idols. Chadzma Nafik L'Asar. One time he had to travel to a place. Hoshiv L'Avram Mocher Tachtav. And he put Avram in charge of the shop. Now there are some midrash or some opinions that say that Avram was 3 years old when this happened. It's probably a tough sell. He was probably 40. And Avram was put in charge of the idol shop. So we know the story, we know how it's going to end, but let's see the details. Hava asi bar inesh bai diyazban. One person came and wanted to buy some idols. So he would say, V'hava amrle bar kama shninat. And Avram would say to this man, how old are you? V'hava amrle bar chamishin oshitin. One person would say he was 50, another person said he was 60. V'hava amrle vai le lahu gavra. To have a bar shitzinu vayle miska lebar yomi. Woe to the person who's 50 years old, who's 60 years old, and he feels the need to bow down to worship this thing that was just made yesterday. What a shanda. What an embarrassment to a person. What a shame that this person has gone through so much life, and he feels the need to worship this one thing that's only been around for a day. And then that person, even instead of continuing with the sale of the idol, would say, wow, that is actually pretty crazy. I'm going to leave now. I'll see myself out. You're right. I shouldn't be doing this. Chadzman. And then one time, something else happened. Asa chad itisa te'ina bida chada pinach desoles. A woman came in carrying in her hand a plate of flour. So amrale. Helach karev kadamehon. So she said to him, which of these should I put it in front of them? Or here, you put it in front of one of the idols. I want to worship one of the idols. Kam nasiv buklasa bidai. So Avram took a buklasa. What's a buklasa? Like a hammer or some kind of weapon. Visavrinun lechalhon pisilaya. And he broke all of the idols. V'hav buklasa bida deraba dahava b'neon. And he took this hammer, he took this club, he took whatever weapon it was, and he put it in the hand of the biggest and strongest of the idols. Kevan, and doesn't tell us what happened to the woman, but,
no.
Okay. Kevan da'asa avua amarle. When his father, Terach, came home, man avi lahon kedain. Who did this to all the idols? So amarle, ma nichpor minach. This woman came in with a plate of flour. So bring this in front of one of the idols. Right? So I put it in front of one of the idols. Havadain Amar, and this one then said, Ana echol kadamai. I want to eat from it first. Vidain Amar Ana Echol Kadamai. And this idol said, I want to eat from the flower first. Kam Hadain Rabba Dahava Benehon Nisav Buklasa Visabrinon. So this big guy over here, this idol over here, the one with the mallet in his hands, he got up and he went and he killed the other ones. He said, I wanted it. Amar Le Ma'ata Maflebi. What kind of wondrous, crazy things are you saying to me? Viyadin Inun. Don't you know better? So he said, Amar Lev lo yishmu aznecha ma shapicha omer. Don't you hear what your mouth is saying? Naspe umesare l'nimrod. So what happens? Terach says, now you've really done it. First, you break all my idols, and then you try to pretend that it's the idols who did it. And then you're going to tell me, you're going to have the audacity to tell me that what I'm saying is crazy. So clearly he didn't have an intelligent response. So what did he do instead? He brought him to the king of the entire empire, Nimrod. Nimrod, the hunter, as we learned from last week's parsha. And this is where the two stories that we all know really actually come together. The story about the idols and the story about the furnace. Right? They're really the same story. That Terach comes to Nimrod. So Amar Leh. So Nimrod said to Avram, at that point, Avram, Nisko Lenora. Right? So Terach is bringing Avram to basically go on trial to see that he should worship these, you know, inanimate objects. So says Nimrod, you should worship the fire. So Amar Leh Avraham, Viniskod Lamaya, Dematfinura. Why would I bow down to fire? I should instead bow down to water, because water puts out fire. So what does Nimrod say? Amar Leh Nimrod, okay, fine, Niskod Lamaya. Fine, I don't care who you worship. Everyone has different gods. Fine, so bow down to the water. So Amar Leh Imkain, if it was true that I should be worshipping the water, Niskod La'anana, the Tain Maya. Maybe I should worship the clouds, because they hold the water. Amar Leh, fine, so Niskod La'anana, fine, I don't care who you worship, just worship the clouds. So Amar Leh Imkain, Niskod L'rucha, D'mevadar Anana. Maybe I should worship the wind, which can get rid of clouds. Okay, Amar Leh, Niskod L'rucha, fine, just worship somebody. Amar Leh v'nisko l'bar inasha d'saval rucha. If I'm going to worship the wind, I might as well worship people who can breathe in the wind. So what happens then? So Amar Leh v'nisko l'bar inash d'saval rucha. So Amar Leh milin at mishtai. Says Nimrod to Avram, you're just saying words. Milin at mishtai. You're just talking. You're just a talker. Ani, says Nimrod, me. Eini mishtachava el la'or. I only bow down to fire. Hare ani mashlich acha besocho. I'm going to throw you into it. V'yavo eloha she'ata mishtachava elo. V'yatzilcha mimenu. If you really think that you know better, so I'm going to throw you into my God, and we'll see whose God's better. Mine or yours. I'll throw you into the fire. And this is the story that we know. Hava taman haran. There next to him was haran. Kaim plog, Amar ma nafshach. So he says, we'll see what happens. Im natzach Avraham, ana Amar min da Avram ana. If Avram comes out unscathed, if he gets through the fire and nothing happens, so obviously I'm going to be on Avram's team. V'im natzach Nimrod, ana Amar din Nimrod ana. And if Avram burns to death, so then I'll be with Nimrod. Kevan Shayarad Avram Lekivshana Esh Venitzol. Once Avram comes out of the furnace and he's saved, Amrin Le Deman At. So then they came over to Haran, which, by the way, is the focus of the whole Midrash, right? We're all trying to figure out what happened in the Haran. Now we're finally getting to the story, right? The whole thing with Avram, all just a point to get to Haran. So comes Nimrod over to Haran. Interesting that Nimrod is still trying at this point because Avram just passed the test. Yeah. You know, Nimrod didn't all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going for a year to H Discovery, right? He didn't say, okay, send me to the nearest rabbi, right? He just said, okay, I'm just going to ignore what just happened. Right? Avram gets through the furnace, and Nimrod has nothing to say. He just ignores it. Okay, fine, maybe something happened, maybe the fire didn't work. But he comes to Haran and says, okay, what about you? He's still sticking to his guns. Interesting to note, Nimrod didn't take any self-reflection from this. So Amrin Len Demanat. So Amrlon, as Haran said he would, Min Avramana. Avram made it through, so I'm also part of Avram's team. Nitalua Vishlichu Laor Vinechmeru Bnei Meav. And Haran's insides burn up. V'yatza Umes Al Pnei Terach Aviv. And Haran therefore died in the face of his father. right, Terach, had brought Avram to the scene, right? You imagine like a big coliseum, right? They pay-per-view event. Everybody come watch Avram. He's going to try to stand up to Nimrod. He gets to the fire, but the people still want death. So they say, Haran, what about you? I'm with Avram. And then they get their death. Because Haran dies, and Terach is standing there the whole time, watching all of it happen. So that's what the pasuk means. Vayamas Haran al pnei Terach aviv. You know what we call this in modern day language, what Haran did? We call this being an agnostic. Right? People oftentimes confuse the concept of agnosticism with atheism. But the truth is that they're very different. An atheist has a belief that there is no God. An agnostic says, I don't know.
Sits on the
could
fence.
Be here, could be there. Whatever I'm feeling today, whatever I'm feeling tomorrow, that's what I'm going to believe. Haran was the world's first agnostic. He said, I don't really know if there's a God. Whatever works out for the best. That's what I'm going to believe. And what we find from Haran, what we find from this story is, that's not good enough. You don't just do religion, you don't just believe in God because it works out. You're either all in or you're all out. You're either committed to Hashem or you're not committed to Hashem. We spoke a little bit about this, or did I speak about this? Who spoke about this? I forgot. I spoke about it in the Mishnah Berurah Chabur a couple days ago. But what's interesting, in a few weeks' time, we'll read about Yaakov and Esav inside the womb, right? And Rivka is all confused, right? Why do I have such pains in my labor? Which Rashi explains as what? When he would walk past Avodah Zarah, the baby would kick. When they walk past the shul, the baby would kick. So Rivka's like, what, you know, what's happening over here? My child wants to go to Avodah Zarah one time. My child wants to go to shul another time. What's happening? What kind of fetus is this? So then Malachim come to Rivka and say, no, Shnei goyim bevidnechu, Shnei le'umim yach paredu. The children are really two children. One's going to be this nation, one's going to be that other nation. So Rivka's like, oh, okay.
Now I can.
Now it's fine. One's going to Avodah Zarah, one's going to a shul, everything's good. What are you saying? Rivka, one's going to Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? You're okay with that? How can you be okay with one of your children going to Avodah Zarah? How does it help the fact that you're now two children? One's doing this, one's doing that. So that some explain that the concept here is at least about being committed to one thing. That when you're a person of conviction, so you can help that person get the right conviction. But all the meanwhile, you're a person that's going back and forth. I don't know, sometimes I'll go to shul, sometimes I'll do the Avodah Zarah thing, sometimes I'll eat treif, sometimes I'll eat kosher. As long as you're dealing with a person like that who flip-flops and doesn't live with conviction, so you can't help them. They're never going to be committed. They're not willing to take a stand. But if you have a person who says, I go to shul, I'm Jewish, and you have a person who says, I go to Avodah Zarah, so at least you can work with that guy. He's a person of conviction. If you get him on the right path, he'll be on the right path. You can be rest assured that at least he'll be committed. And the first person to exemplify this wishy-washiness was Haran. I don't know, we'll see. If Avram wins, I'll be with Avram. If Nimrod wins, I'll be with Nimrod. And even though Avram won, and he said he was with Avram, it didn't work out in the end, because that wishy-washiness is not something that we can tolerate if you're going to be committed to Hashem. You have to really be committed. But let's go back a little bit. A little bit of a recap. Avram's the store owner, he's the merchant, woman comes in, breaks the idols, father says, let's go to Nimrod. And all of a sudden, Nimrod and Avram has this really interesting conversation. Whereas Nimrod doesn't just say, this is our Avodah Zarah, bow down to it. He sort of entertains Avram's responses. Right? Avram says, why don't we bow down to water? So, okay, bow down to water. I don't care. And then he says, no, what about clouds? And he says, what about winds? And he says, what about people? And then Nimrod said, okay, enough with this. Just do the fire. So we have to first ask a few different questions. Number one, why did Nimrod allow the rest of the conversation? Then why did he end the conversation? And then why did he insist on his original God, right? So if we can think about these five elements, right, we have basically a few different elements. We have fire, water, clouds, wind, and people. He sides in the end with fire. What's the difference between the four, on the other hand, and the fire on the other hand. On the one hand, we have water, clouds, wind, and people, and then fire. What's so unique about fire? And I'll add another layer to this, which will bring us back. You remember, we've already spoken about fire today. Before we talked about this midrash, there was another midrash that we spoke about in source number 3. What was that midrash? The burning building. So maybe if we can unlock the key of the midrash in Parshas Noach, we can unlock the key to the very next midrash at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. What is so unique about the fire for Nimrod?
Fire is man, and the others are
good. How do you make water? You don't. You just wait for it. Hashem brings down the water, and then you can use the water. How do you make clouds? You can't. I mean, you can make little dioramas or whatever. You can make little clouds. But you can't make the clouds that are going to soak up all the water from the atmosphere. How are you going to make wind? Can't do that either. Got to wait for Hashem. How are you going to make
man?
You definitely can't do that. That's also up to Hashem. So, the only thing you have left, the only difference is fire. How do you make fire?
Rub
a couple sticks together, a couple stones together. You create friction. That you can create. So why did Nimrod insist that Avram bow down to fire? That Avram worship fire? Because it was the only thing that Nimrod could control. It's the only thing out of all of the elements that Nimrod felt comfortable worshiping, because what it really meant was that he was worshiping himself. Because as long as you kept it to fire, it was in his control. He can decide where to put it. He can decide how far to make the flames. He gets to decide what he's worshiping. And that's the best kind of Avodah Zarah. Right? That's the Avodah Zarah of the 21st century. The worship of self. Right? And that's really what all Avodah Zarah really becomes. Because worship of itself is at the core of any worshiping of an inanimate object. If you go back to the beginning of the Midrash. Right? Avram is talking to other people. And this other guy comes in and says, you know, I'm 50 to 60. Avram says, 50 to 60, and you're worshiping this one-day-old thing. So that sounds a little foolish, but that's the entire point of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is all about sort of reflecting ourselves in whatever we're worshiping. We're not really worshiping this one-day-old thing. It is whatever we make of it, because it was just made yesterday. So I can make of it whatever I want. It's not going to respond anything to me. It's not going to tell me anything else. The only thing that it is what I say it is. Because it was just made yesterday. And the same thing happens with fire. Fire is in the control of a person. It's in the control of Nimrod, and therefore he says to Avram, if you want to bow down, if you want to prove your worth, whose God is better? So, right, in the words of Nimrod, what does he say? He said, Amalei milin at mishta. You're just saying a bunch of words. Ani, for me, eini mishtach ve'elala, or I only bow down to the fire. That's my personal preference. I prefer myself. I like to bow down to myself in the mirror. I like to say that I'm in control. Right? The emperor of the entire region. That was Nimrod. That was his personality, and that was what he was trying to give over to Avram, or at least to pretend that he bows down to the fire, this powerful force, which is really his own control. Now, if we understand this concept of fire, let's go back to the first midrash in source number 3. As Rabbi Yitzchak told us, Shimi Vas, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mashal Echa Shehaya Over Mimakom Lamakom. There's an analogy of a person who's walking from place to place and he sees a palace is on fire. Now, let's look very closely at the words here. Because there's an obvious misaligned response from the person and the owner of the building. If you look, so what does it say? Amar. In the fifth line down, at the end of the line, in source number 3, Tomar Shehabira Hazu Belo Manhig. Is this to say that this palace, below Manhig, is without a Manhig? What's a Manhig? A leader, someone to control the situation. Heitzitzalav bal habira, comes the owner of the building, Amarlo, Anihu, Hamanhig. No, it doesn't say that. No. It should have said that. That was the question. The person asks, is there a manhig? The guy comes out and says, I'm not a manhig, but I'm a Baal Habira. What's the difference between a manhig and a Baal? A manhig controls behavior. Hanhaga, a minhag, is what you do. Lehanhig is to lead, is to actually do something. A Baal is just the owner. Right? The owner of a baseball team doesn't play baseball. Everybody else plays baseball. His constituents do the actual playing. He just owns the team. So the guy comes out, the guy's walking along the road. He says, who is controlling, who's taking care of this building? And the owner of the building says, I'm the owner. But I don't do anything. And that perhaps is why the conversation stops. Because the guy isn't saying, I'm going to put out the fire. I take care of the building. He says, I own the building. Don't blame me. I'm just the owner. Kach, continues the Midrash, lefi shehaya avinu Avram Omar. That Avram is similarly saying, Tomar sha'olam hazeh b'lomanig, am I to believe that the world in front of me, all the destruction that I'm seeing in front of me, this world doesn't have a controller, doesn't have a guide, doesn't have someone that's going to dictate how people behave. Hate to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu v'amar lo, ani hu baal ha'olam. I'm just the owner. This is my world, and the truth is that I do rule the world, but I'm not going to tell people what to do. I give people what we call free will. Why, if that's the message between manhig, or the transition of manhig to baal habira, why then is the medium of the analogy a burning palace? What did we learn about Nimrod? Fire is all about having the control. So this person is walking along the road and he sees a building on fire. How did the building get on fire?
We don't know.
Because someone must have done it. Hashem doesn't cause fires. It doesn't say the house was flooded, that Hashem brought a torrential rain, a torrential downpour like Noah, and destroyed the building. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that there was a hurricane and the wind came and blew it over. There's nothing here that Hashem did. Hashem didn't burn this building. Fire is in the control of man. Says Hashem to Avram Avinu, Avram, I know you see a house on fire, but you should know I'm only the owner. I don't decide what happens in the house. I don't decide what people do in the world. I created a world and I gave them the capacity to decide what they're going to do. Represented by fire. Fire is in their control. They can use it to burn down the building, or they can use it to warm up the building, to illuminate the building, to use it for the better. It's in the control, it's in the hands of man. And that's what the conversation is from Avram to Hashem. Avram says, Tomar Shaolam Hazeh B'li Manhig, no one's going to control what's going on in this world. Hashem says, yeah, I'm not going to control. The people are going to control. I'm just the Baal Habira. I'm only the owner of the world. I'm not actually the dictator of the activities. I'm not the actual player. I'm just the owner. And that's what we can learn from Nimrod. The Nimrod saga is indicative of the entire purpose of fire. It's indicative that fire represents the control of man to make their own decisions. And that when you reflect it back onto the first Midrash in source number 3, which is really the second Midrash at the beginning of our Parsha, we can really understand what it means to actually the conversation of Avram and to the way of the world. And this is also, as we said before, the reason why Haran was punished. Haran didn't take control over the situation. He let other people control it. If Avram does this, I'll go that way. If Nimrod wins, I'll go that way. But Haran wasn't willing to make his own decision. He wasn't willing to make his own choice. He was just basically saying, I'm going to leave it up to chance. I'm going to leave it up to whatever happens. That's the way I'll go. But he didn't make a decision. So this is the story of Avram that we all know and love. But if we delve deeper into the details as we see, you can go much deeper into understanding the conversation Avram had about God, trying to understand the nature of God, right? Avram We don't know much about him. We don't know the details. But through these midrashim, we understand that Avram was having a philosophical debate within himself. What is God? What is the creator of the world? Is he going to actually dictate everything that we do in life? And then he found out, no, it's not true. That there are some people that will choose to use fire to burn down the entire world. And there are some people that will choose to use fire to illuminate. And what does Avram do? Avram says to himself, I want to be one of the illuminators. I want to be not the person that's burning the building down, but one that's putting out the fire. And therefore, perhaps we can understand based on that what the Midrash is trying to teach us in source number 3. Because remember, this story about the burning building is coming to explain what pasuk? Lech lecha. What does it mean, lech lecha? So Rashi told us, lech lecha means lecha letovascha lahanascha, to your own benefit. You'll get this, and you'll get that. But perhaps now that with the backdrop of this Midrash, we can understand that lech lecha is not simply what you're going to get out of it, but it's that if you're going to lech, if you're going to go, make sure it's lecha. Make sure that it's your own decision. Make sure that when I tell you to go to this place, you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it because I'm telling you. Hashem isn't commanding Avraham and saying, you must do this. Right? It's not saying at the penalty of death, you have to do this. It's saying, lech, you can go, but make sure it's lecha. That when you go, it's your own decision. That the power is in your own hands. Much like the fire, you can do with it one way, you can do with it another way. But Hashem is saying, lech lecha, make sure that you're doing this on your own. Interestingly enough, we have some sources about fire. When was fire created? Anyone know? Was fire created? Why do we do Havdalah? When do we do Havdalah?
At the end of Shabbos.
At the end of Shabbos. Do we do it after Yontif?
No.
Why don't we do it after Yontif? Two reasons. Okay, so one reason is because you're allowed to cook, so we've already been using fire. And therefore, at the end of Yontif, we don't have to re-engage with fire or re-inaugurate fire into our life. So that's one reason. What's another reason we don't do fire on, except if it's Motzei Shabbos? And that's, by the way, why we might do it on Yom Kippur, because we don't cook on Yom Kippur. So we still use the fire after Yom Kippur. What's another reason why we only do Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh on Motzei Shabbos? Because that's when fire was created. If you look at source number five, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, Tani Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shnei Devarim Alu Machshav Libaros Be'erev Shabbos. There are two things that Hashem thought it should be made on Erev Shabbos, V'lenivru Ad Motzei Shabbos. But he held off, he didn't create them until after Shabbos. Uvim Motzei Shabbos, Nasan Kadosh Baruch Hu Dea Ba'Adam Harishon. And then after Shabbos, he gave Adam, the first man of the world, he gave him the intellectual capacity to understand Me'ein Dugma Shalmala V'Hevi Shnei Avanim V'Tachlan Zubazu. Adam Harishon took two stones and he started to rub them against each other to create friction. V'yatza Mehen Or, and a light came out. Fire came out. Adam Harishon created fire. V'Hevi Shtei Behemos V'Hirkev Zubazu V'yatza Mehen Pered. And then he also took a donkey and he took a horse. He mated them together, and that created a mule. So why do we do Borei Maresh only after Shabbos? Because that's when fire was created. And it wasn't created by Hashem. The only person that creates fire, even in the story of creation, is man himself. Because fire, as we've been saying all along, is in the control of man. And that's what the fire is at the core of both of these stories. The Avram story by Nimrod, and the Avram story by the Baal Habira, when he was talking to Hashem about who controls the world. And if you look at those nine Latorah, in source number 6, Rav Zalman Sarutzkin, in his explanation of what man's task in the world is, he says the following. Shelech orakasha, lama nivra hakol b'sheshes emei breshes, why was everything created in 6 days of creation? Virak beis devarim eila or upered nidchu l'motzei Shabbos. Why do these specific things get pushed off until after Shabbos? V'lama nivla hakol bidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And why is it that everything was created by Hashem? U'shnei ele al yedei Adam HaRishon. But these two are specifically created by Adam, by the first man. U'lefi dvarenu afshar lomar, shebeiz dvarim ele nidche b'riyasa l'motzei Shabbos Kodesh, kidei l'mosra l'Adam HaRishon. Hashem wanted to give these to Adam HaRishon. He wanted to give them to Adam. And this was also to appease Adam after he sinned by eating the fruit of the Gan Eden. This is a consolation. Hashem is basically saying, here, you can have this. You might have messed up the first round, but now you have another round. You have another opportunity to create on your own. Laharos lo matarasu b'chayim, to teach him, to show him the purpose of life. Livro yesh miyesh, to create from that which already exists. Lahotzi me'avanim or, to bring out fire from the stones. Umishnei mini behemos min shlishi panim chadashos ba'olam, and to create something new in the world by combining two other things. By combining the horse and the donkey, you create a mule. V'hu hadin b'chol hadvarim, and that's the case with all things. Shebara Elokeinu hishir la'adam makom l'shachlalam, I'm not sure. And he gave room for man to continue creating. U'l'shapram, and to make them better. V'lasos mehem kol tzrachav, and to do with them all of what man needs. V'nivcharu shnei minim ela or uperad limsor b'yasam l'adam arishon, and he gave specifically these two things, fire and a mule. Mipnei sha'achad mehem or hu harishon lebriya, because fire or light was the first thing in creation, right? Vayhi or. And what about sheni min behema chadash acharon lebriya, and the creation of animals were last. Let's keep man out of the conversation for the moment. Umemela yavin ki afshar lo l'shachla l'sakin es kol hanivra b'sheshes me'abreshes. Hashem gives him the first thing, and he gives him the last thing. Adam creates something which is in the same
order,
the same category of the first thing Hashem created, and which is the light, and he gives him something to create from the last category of creation, which is animals. And through that, says Rav Zalman Suratskin, Adam recognizes, human beings are supposed to recognize, that we can create everything in the world. We can recreate in our own way anything that Hashem created. Obviously, not yesh me'ayin, but yesh me'yesh, things with the materials Hashem gave us. And then he says, interestingly enough, v'im yiskanzu kol bei olam, if every single person in the entire world came together, lo yachlu livro af yatush echad, I think it's supposed to be an echad, they couldn't even make one little worm. If all of mankind put all their brain power together, they could never create from nothing any little thing. Doesn't matter how many people you brought together. Hare b'koach ha'yachid b'tachton b'sichlo v'svunaso shehena sheinei Hashem shechanan Hashem oso l'shachla v'sachomer asher b'ha b'hem elokim l'avdo. Hashem created material for man to then take and do things himself. La'asoso u'latakno k'fitzorach adam en adomim, for man to create from inanimate objects, ad hachai, into animate objects, v'zohi matarasu b'chayim. And that is the purpose of life, to take what Hashem gave us and to make something of it. And that is symbolized by fire. Because fire is that element that Hashem allows us to create on our own, to make of it what we want, either for the good or for the bad. Yeah, Rizal. Yeah, those are tough ones. Those are tough ones, and we're trying hard to keep them at bay. So it's not necessarily the case that every fire is created specifically by man lighting a match, but we have the power to create it. We have no power to create water or to create wind, but we do have the ability to create fire whenever we want. Yeah, Viva.
Isn't it a little strange, though, that the example of control over life should use an example?
Which, what do you mean? Yeah. Oh, you mean, for creating a mule.
Yeah.
Is that... Hmm. Is that kilayim? I don't know. I don't know the levels of kilayim well enough. Are you allowed to mix a horse and a donkey? Neither of them are kosher animals. I don't remember the halachos of kilayim. I'm not sure if that would
both
be...
Both have four legs.
Yes, that is true. I'd have to look back at the history of kilayim. So you're saying, are you allowed to... But that would be the similar thing, even if it was an Esther, so that's also in the power of man, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't remember. I don't remember if it is.
We're not allowed to cross.
Right. I'm not sure if it applies to every single animal. Right. It doesn't apply to every plant, and it doesn't apply to every animal. You're allowed to crossbreed some. I forgot which ones are which, but it's not for everything. But either way, the point is that Hashem gives us the ability to transgress things too. Just like He gave us the ability to destroy with fire, He also gives us the ability to do the right thing. And that's what the message to Avram is when it comes to Lech Lecha. When He says to Avram, you can go to Eretz Yisrael, but you should know it's Lecha. And according to Sfasem, according to Zohar, apparently the message of Lech Lecha was not just given to Avram Avinu. If you look at the story, there's no indication that Avram Avinu should be the one to be chosen for this message, for this mission. Right? When did Hashem never said, He never says, Avram tzadik haya b'dorosav. Right? He never singles out Avram like He singled out Noah. All of a sudden, we just have the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha! So says the Sfas Emes, that this Lech Lecha was actually being said to everybody. Anyone who wanted to listen to Hashem could have gone. Avram is the one that actually did it.
His father.
So that's the end of the parsha last week. So it's an interesting debate about how exactly, how much of it is Avram, how much of it is Terach. We know that when Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, it's not only to leave wherever they were, but it also means to leave his house, to leave where he was born, to leave his family. So there are elements to it that are beyond what Terach did. But you're right in terms of going to Eretz Yisrael, or at least going toward Eretz Yisrael, that Terach had already started that journey. So it is interesting what exactly this mission is. As we said before, it's not clear that it's a mission to get to any specific spot. But what we learned here today from the Midrashim is that the Lech has to be Lecha. And for Avram, that means he took it upon himself, as opposed to everybody else, according to Sfas Emes, who didn't listen to Hashem and didn't take it upon themselves to make that decision. Avram did. Avram said, I want to take it upon myself. He saw the building burning, and he said, if Hashem's not going to do it, I'm going to do it myself. That's what Hashem wants us to do, as we see from the end, from Rav Zalman Saratskin, that the Hashem gives us a world and gives us the pieces, but we're supposed to put them together. We're supposed to make those decisions ourselves. And now that we understand the idea behind the encounter of Avram and Nimrod, we can understand the encounter of Avram and Hashem, that he was having a philosophical debate as to the nature of God. He ultimately realizes that God has given us a world, and it's up to us to make the most of it. So that's how Avram gets his start, as the leader of the Jewish people, the person that would take initiative, the person that would go out and say that it's our job to make sure that we use the fire correctly, that we use all the elements of the world to do good and not to burn it down. Okay, have a good week.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Analogy on page 50.